This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Now, Don, you asked me a question.
Yes.
You said to me, is part of me as a Celtics fan saying, where was this earlier in the series?
Well, like, as proud as you, let's say they win Saturday, and they go down in defeat in Game 7. You're proud that they were, what, they would be, what, only the third team ever to force a Game 7 after being down 3-0? Wouldn't there be a part of you to say, God, if you just showed a little of this in the first 3 games of the series, we'd be in the final?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a reasonable question. I think I end up just feeling, it ends up going back to your feelings on Joe Mazzulla as a head coach. And why weren't they really ready to play earlier in this series? Now, I personally am at a point now where, because it was so ugly, even though I'd be disappointed, at this point pretty greatly disappointed, because the last 2 games have been so emotional and fun, if they lose Saturday, tell me if you know what I mean. In some ways, I feel like I sort of have the monkey off my back just that they've made it a great series. Like, a lot of me just could not stand the idea that they were about to go out in disgrace. So if they lose a close game Saturday night, I'll be incredibly bummed out. But I'm also already proud of what they've done the last 2 games. Here are a couple of those stats that Greek threw at me that are pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The Celtics have scored 54 points off turnovers in the last 2 games. Don, the first play of yesterday's game, I'm not going to say I instantly was like, that's it, we're winning. But when Marcus Smart steals the ball on the first offensive possession for Miami and then feeds Tatum, who goes coast to coast and has that like aggressive Tatum take and lay in, I did think like, okay, that's literally the play I would pick to start a game.
Right.
Like they really did do some things last night that make you go, okay, I know this team's going to win. In game four, it was Horford hitting early threes. Yesterday, it was Marcus Smart hitting early threes. Derek White had a couple huge early threes. They just did things better than they've been doing it. And like I said, it really seems like they had a conversation of, you cannot, I think they had one rushed three in the first half. Jaylen Brown took a rushed three. Besides that, they just took their time and looked for good shots. And what a difference it made. It was really a different Boston Celtics team last night, and a team that looked like they could compete. I don't know if they can get it done. I'll tell you this other stat. The Celtics are 7-1. The last 2 postseasons when facing elimination. Of course, the one loss was against Golden State in the finals last year. Otherwise, they do very well in these elimination games. And lastly, Don, we've been looking at the odds, and we found it fascinating that the Celtics were only plus 700 when down 3-0.
Right.
And then plus 220 when down 3-1. Right now, Don, the Celtics are plus 115 to win the series.
That's incredible. Well, now it makes it now it's starting to make real sense.
The Heat are minus 135.
It's incredible.
It's really fascinating.
It is that rare situation, right, where how often do you see the team that's the heavy favorite? The team that went to the Stanley went to the final last year, you know, be down 3-0. It's usually the worst team. It's the team with home court disadvantage, and that's why they'd be
plus 2200 instead of plus 700. You know, it does make sense in that regard. And I got to say one thing about the Celtic fans. You know, we live in a market here in the tri-state that is incredibly smart when it comes to basketball and hockey.
Yes.
Some of the best fans in both sports. Literally, you know, the reactions to every little thing is that of a knowledgeable base. The Celtic fan is interesting. They're just such an incredibly passionate base and a team that's used to winning, a fan base that's used to winning. Last night, Don, it was basically a 20-point lead from, what, 7 minutes into the game, 8 minutes. It was early, certainly in the second quarter already. Don, until we got to the fourth, I leaned over to my cousin. I go, it's crazy. If you were to turn on the TV, you'd think I'm watching a blowout. Like, this isn't even interesting. If you were in the building, Don, until it got to about under 7 minutes left, the fans were still living and dying with every Heat possession. And to the Heat and to the Heat's credit, I don't know if you noticed this. Every time it seemed like the Celtics were ready to completely shut the door, they would hit a three-pointer and just keep it alive. Yeah. And that actually, if I'm a Heat fan, gives me a little vote of confidence going into Saturday night. Yes, you lost badly. However, they did kind of hold their heads through the whole thing. They never let it get absolutely disgusting. You know, it would get to 19, it would go down to 14. They'd get to 20, it would go down to 12. Like they still, they're a very interesting team in that way. And they have guys who are just cold-blooded shooters. Do we have any update, Anthony? Have you seen anything about Vincent? Do we know the possibility of him being back for Saturday night?
I've not seen anything yet, no.
Let's get back to the phone lines, 1-800-919-3776. We'll start with Paul in Trenton. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, hi, guys. Happy holiday.
Don, real quick prediction for this call. Upbeat Yankee call, angry Yankee call?
Angry Yankees.
That's what I'm going to.
You are correct. So, I'm just going to say the Yanks scored 6 runs against Baltimore the first game. Then they went to the next game and they scored 6 runs. He had similar lineups. The third game, Clown Boone takes 3 players out. He puts a Cashman fill in. He sits LeMayu, who he says there's nothing wrong with him. Mm-hmm. And he puts another guy in. What is Boone's purpose? Is he there to lose games or win these big games?
That's a good question, Don.
Would
do you believe?
Please tell me why would I watch this if this is going to be the case this year? Thank you.
Well, again, you're upset that they're resting LeMahieu, who's been banged up the last couple of years. When's their next day off? They're about to go on a West Coast trip, so they don't have a day off coming, I think, for a little bit here. Anthony may know off the top of his head. I don't like it either, but that's just the way that it is, man. And I feel like we're covering for the guy. Michael's not here. We have no affiliation to the Yankees whatsoever. But it's a fact. These lineups are put together analytically. Now, Boone's behind it, but you keep making it look like he sits there in his office like the old days and goes, I've got a hankering that DJ needs a day off. So we're going to get him, we're going to have him sit on the bench, and I think that we're better off with Judge batting second here, and I think Calhoun should go here. That's not the way it works. It used to be that way. Doesn't work that way anymore.
By the way,
it's
Thursday,
all analytically driven. So if you want to sit there and complain that the guy's a puppet or whatever, then I can get on board with that. But to sit there and what's Boone doing? Is he trying to lose? He's following in line with the way the organization believes this team should be going about in any given day.
By the way, Thursday, the next off day for the Yankees. Let's go to E, who has a salient point to make about Pete Alonso. What's up, E in Queens?
What's going on, guys? Happy Friday.
Happy Memorial Day Friday.
Happy Memorial Day Friday, and happy Friday-less no Yankee boy today. So that's always easier on you guys,
wow,
right?
Just we like to call it Kalis.
Don and
no Michael Kalis.
Don and Pete are rocking the show.
Oh, thank you.
No, I just had 2 quick points, guys. One, I just don't think that people are recognizing how amazing it is what Alonso's doing for the league and, like, has been doing since he joined the league in 2019, right? Like, leads all MLB in home runs, but somehow Judge still gets accolades. And look, I understand Peter's a dork. Like, he is. Like, everything he does is a bit cringy, and no one really likes it, but the dude just mashes home runs. And I don't think that people are giving him the credit that he deserves.
This is very reminiscent to the conversation we had years ago, Peter, about why is Judge cool and Alonzo's not? Why does Judge get all the accolades? The easy answer is that one's a Yankee and one's a Met. And that's a big gap. You know, the Mets are not the New York Yankees right now, as far as like popularity and attention's concerned. But I really think that can change if he continues to go at it. I mentioned it last Friday. You were off, Peter. And Michael didn't join the show until after 4 o'clock. And I said, can you imagine how the narrative will change if Alonso gets to a World Series before Judge does? And I think if that were to happen, things would even itself out. Because you know how this city loves a champion and how they love the Mets if the Mets ever won. Now you're talking about like 86 level, right? Now Alonso goes in there with Strawberry and Gooden and Keith Hernandez and Gary Carter. And if Judge is still sitting there not winning, that can change it. But right now, one's a Yankee, one's a Met. I think that's really the difference. Not the nozzle, not the coolness, not all the things that Peter and I have discussed over the last couple of years. I think the reason Alonso's not getting attention is because the Mets haven't really won anything.
Well, yes, and Don, that you just said the word coolness, but the fact of the matter is, and I'm sorry, Mets fans, I lean Met, if anything, in this town, okay? But I just want to say the coolness part, it also just is part of the Yankee thing. It's unfortunate. It may be because of winning, but it's also just kind of part of the national branding of those teams.
Right, because the Yankees are known as winners and the Mets aren't. The Mets haven't won since 86, the Yankees 2009. Now, that irritates a lot of Yankee fans. But after the Yankees won those four championships in 5 years, the coolest team in the market has been the Yankees. Those pinstripes, the history. But I'm telling you, if the Mets ever put it together and won a championship before Judge, I'm not saying Alonso would surpass Judge, but I think it would definitely close the gap, if not even things out. And if he did it in a year where Alonso went out there and hit 60-plus home runs, you're telling me that there would still be that gap? Because now the narrative kind of changes to, is Judge ever going to win? And can you be cool without winning? It's okay not to. Listen, as much as the Yankee fans are irritated that they haven't won a championship, at least the Mets haven't. And really, nobody at any great clip in New York has. You know, the last championship, my apologies to NYCFC, okay? But of the four majors, the last championship was the 2011 Giants, just 2 years after the Yankees won. So, as much as they've been embarrassed by not winning, Peter, for a long time, nobody else has really taken over the city by being dominant and winning a bunch of championships. If the Mets were able to do it before the Yankees?
No, it would be impactful.
And Alonso is a, because Alonso would be the face, is the face of this franchise right now, right? With DeGrom gone, it's him by himself. I know Verlander and Scherzer are going to the Hall of Fame. They've been Mets for 5 minutes. Alonso's the face of this team. And if they won, and he's, like, responsible for that, in a year in which he hits, you know, 60-plus home runs, it threatens the, you know, the going over 61, I'm not saying he'd surpass. He'd close the gap significantly.
Am I being old-school 80s baseball boy for pointing out that Judge is batting average is 50 points higher than Pete?
No, I it's not about who the better ball player is. Aaron Judge is the better ball player.
Okay. All right. Just being clear.
I mean, I think we can all say that. He's a better right fielder than Alonso is a first baseman, mm-hmm. although I think Alonso's gotten better defensively at first base. All right. Well, hits for better average. His war's better. He's the better player. That doesn't matter, Peter. What matters is like, who's, like, captivating the imagination of the town? Like, do you think if Alonso hits 63 home runs this year and the Mets win the World Series and Judge hits 50 and the Yankees lose in the wild card round, that people are going to say, you know, start talking about Judge's batting average? Or are they going to start paying attention to Pete and he's going to start getting accolades and doing commercials? And I'm not saying Yankee fans are all of a sudden going to jump ship, but those people that are sitting on the fence, I lived it, man.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 1-800-919-3776. Jimmy in Connecticut. What's up, Jimmy?
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. Before I have a Yankee pointer about the state of the team, but before that, I got to ask Don a question. So I just moved into a new place with my girlfriend. She's a Mets fan. I'm a Yankee fan. I got to ask you, I don't have Apple TV set up yet at my new apartment. Will I be a fraud if I allow her to watch the Met game tonight while I miss the Yankee game?
That's a great question.
No,
fraud.
It's May 26th. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I agree
with
you.
It's a Friday night.
I want your take on it.
No, listen. I love sports as much as the next guy. But you know, you sit there and then you check on the computer. You're not going to just tap out on the Yankees, right? You'll check the computer. You'll check the score.
And by the way, you're talking to a man in Don, by the way, who literally watches the San Francisco Giants maybe more than he watches his own team. So. Where do you think Don's going?
Well, no, Mike, I wouldn't say that, but what
it's close.
I consume it differently. Like, she'll put the Giant game on if the Mets game's still going on. I'll go to the app. I'll watch the Mets. I mean, last night it was 11 o'clock. The hockey game went into overtime. What do you think I did? I went to the nice, the beautiful ESPN Plus, and I watched the game like a gentleman.
I am being.
That's what you do.
I was alerted by a few people on Twitter that, in fact, the jersey I bought was not an authentic.
Oh, no.
And that it has to be a swingman. Now, here's my thing. They may be correct, and there may be a better jersey that exists. I just don't know where it is, because it's not on this in the Celtics shop anywhere. It's almost like is the authentic jersey still even available?
I don't know how it works with basketball. I know hockey, they always display the replicas because they want to sell them. You know, the authentics are very expensive in hockey. You're talking over 300 bills.
Yeah, but I bet if I go to the NHL store, yes, I'll immediately see, when I go to jerseys,
yeah,
I can search by authentic and it pops up. No authentics pop up.
Here's what I'm going to say about the gentleman that spoke to you at the merchandise. It wasn't a tent. You actually went to a shop, right?
Yeah, it was inside. It was the real deal.
Hackadoodle had no idea what he was doing. He was just saying things. He was just speaking that right out of his arse.
But yeah, right away when you go to, like, I'm looking at the Bruins NHL shop page.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, I get a Brad Marchand authentic right there. $230 done. Not too bad.
And you go there, and they'll point them out to you. That guy had no idea. I don't know if it was new.
But I don't know. Maybe the NBA ones have just gotten harder to find.
But why would they be hard to find there? Now, they'll be very expensive. But how nuts would that be to not have an authentic? You know how many people that just have, like, money just to throw around? Why would you miss it? You were prepared to pay more than $130.
I was.
You wanted an authentic jersey. Now, I'm not saying you would have paid $500, but you would have probably paid $50 more, say, than to wait to the next day to buy online, because you were in that moment. You don't think there are people in that moment? Like, so I just think he was bad at his job. That happens.
But what I'm saying is, I believe he might have been selling the best jersey they sell in the arena right now, because I don't see it anywhere here.
Well, then, but the guy works there, right? Why couldn't he just say, listen, all I can tell you is that's the best jersey we have available. I can't tell you it's authentic. I can't tell you there's other ones out there that are better. That's the best one we have. That's an honest answer. But don't tell you that that's authentic. That's it. That's what he's trying to sell you on, that was it. Bad job. Bad at his job. If you understand where I'm going.
Oh, sure I do. Let's go back to Alex in upstate New York. What's up, Alex?
Hey, afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Terrific.
Good, thank you. Now that D-Hop got released by the Cardinals, I think there's a chance it goes to the Jets or Giants?
Well, listen, we were going to get to that. So don't you worry. We're going to spend plenty of time on that, my friend.
You're going to break it down to a fine powder. Do you have a hunch, though, Don? Do you think it's real?
I mean, it's real that he's going to be out there. I mean, right now, I guess it's past 4 o'clock, so I guess we're going to find out whether he's been officially released or has been traded. But it's real. He's not going to be a Cardinal next year. The question is, he'll fit anywhere. He's a really good player. But we'll dive deeper into this. Are you attracted to what he can do, or are you attracted to the name of what he's done? He'll be 31 years old on June 6th.
We'll get into that in the next segment. Let's get into a little Jets, Giants, and DeAndre Hopkins a little bit, because it is an interesting conversation to be had about, like, sort of, when is it enough? When is the refrigerator fully stocked? You know what I mean? Let's go to Martin in Manhattan. Martin, what's up?
What's going on, Don? What's up, Pete?
What's up?
Love you guys.
Thanks, man.
It's all about the Yankees, Giants, and Knicks. No Mets, no Jets, no Nets to me. But I want to talk about – I heard you, Pete, you said you want to talk about the Giants and Jets. Is it okay if I go off topic?
Oh, no, please. We'll get to that in a bit. Go, whatever you want. Oh,
okay. Well, I want to vent about the Yankees real quick. But, Pete, I got so much respect for you because you are part of our culture. I just don't understand how you're a Celtics fan when you got your – you're from D.C., so you're a Commander fan and a Celtics fan, but you got all your stuff from New York.
It's a great point. We talk about it all the time.
What am I going to do, man?
What are you going to do?
That's the thing. I don't. He's gone now. But no, Jacob had enough.
I don't think that's his. It's for him to say.
Well, no, Jacob and I had a talk about, because Jacob, so to lift up the curtain completely, Anthony now is the producer of the show. So he sits back at the desk and produces the show.
He was always the producer.
Well, yeah, but he was doing everything. We wanted to change things around. So now we got Jacob and Tom, who do a fantastic job running the board. But each of those guys have to learn our timing for hanging up on phone calls. So we were talking about how fast we move on from someone. In that particular case, that was a strong enough caller. That guy could have co-hosted the show with us.
Not only was it strong, but he made it a point to say that he had something else to say.
Well, if he calls back, we'll try to pop him back on. Listen, what am I going to do, though, to everyone who says it to me? I was there last night watching the game. Ultimately, I'm not from Boston. No. Do I have a connection to the city of Boston? No. My connection's to the team. My city connection is to New York. When I flew into LaGuardia today and I saw Manhattan, I said, I'm home now.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been rooting for this green and white since I was 8 years old. It's 35 years ago. I'm not a fraud. I just don't think I can start over. Listen, Dom, was I sincerely pulling for the Knicks? Absolutely. In the first round, I was more dialed into the Knicks series than the Celtics. Celtics first round, that's every year. But I do care and want New York teams to do well, but I can't be a fraud.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Beautiful day. Hope everyone's excited to be able to celebrate a three-day weekend. It was interesting getting the different feedback from some of our older callers about what Memorial Day used to be. It did used to be called Decoration Day, Don.
Mm-hmm.
That was, in fact, a thing. Was I a bad guy for sort of laughing at Richard's description of what Memorial Day used to be?
It just, his delivery kind of takes the seriousness out of anything.
I mean, right? Listen, just the way he was, the reason I made fun of it was he was describing it like it was this wonderful thing to look back on. Now, just for everyone to be clear, Richard wasn't saying it was about honoring soldiers. He was saying in his family, it was just a time to celebrate the lives of people who are gone from his family. But it just sounded incredibly morbid.
Yeah. I'm with you.
And for the record, before anyone gets all high and mighty, please, we take all of these holidays and turn them into excuse to barbecue and sell beer. So everyone, why don't you go ahead and settle down, all right? We're a bunch of bunch of frauds, all of us.
We should take the time to acknowledge.
We should. We should.
There's a reason. We do these, we do these shows. Oh, I've said this a million times, but it's worth repeating. We're the first generation, Peter, because I count you in my generation, that has not had to make any sacrifices for what we have.
Are you the beginning of Gen X? You're older than Gen X, though, right? Are you the end of the boomers? When were you born?
I was born in 68. So my father, there was still a draft. This is what I go by, okay? My father, even though there was no war when my father was drafted, it was still a draft. So he decided to go into the Navy because he didn't want to get drafted to a branch of service he didn't want to go to. So he went into the Navy. We didn't have to do that. So that the next generation after my dad, I didn't have to worry about getting drafted or serve my country, make any kind of sacrifice in order to live as free, to do all the yo-yo stuff that we do, play video games and talk sports for 4 hours and you know, worry about things that that really mean nothing at the end of the day compared to what, you know, our grandfathers and great-grandfathers and fathers had to do and had to suffer through so that we can have the fun that we have. Mm-hmm. So once a year, we want to be able to support those people that paid the ultimate sacrifice. We have Veterans Day for people that just made the sacrifice of fighting for this country. But Memorial Day is supposed to be people that didn't come back.
I was about to ask you. So that's the delineation?
To me, it is. That's the delineation. Veterans Day are for people that served. Memorial Day is to remember the people that didn't come back. And believe, there were a lot of them over the length of this country, including how, you know, we got here, you know, fighting the British or whatever, the sacrifices that were made. And I know a lot of people are rolling their eyes, but listen, we get to roll our eyes because of those sacrifices. So I never try to take it for granted.
So take a time out in our 3 days of luxuriating and doing whatever we're doing to actually think about the reason we get the day off. That is a point very well taken. 1-800-919-3776. As we roll on, Don, and I know what you're excited for, and that would be a Pinstripe Report brought to you by Woodbridge Wines. And we're talking everything right now.
Do we have a tease?
Yeah, you had a you said you wanted to ask me something, but you were waiting till the other side.
No, that was the last tease about the Celtic thing.
No, it was about Peter's fraudulent behavior and being a fan.
Well, yeah. Well, I was going to just give a little bit extra to that. The problem, Peter.
I summed it up.
If you were a lawyer, if you picked up my garbage, if you were a landscaper, you are a fraud piece of garbage.
Oh, that's okay.
Because a Celtic fan can't root for the Knicks. That's fraudulent behavior. But I give you a pass because you're in the business. And you know how it's good for the show if the Knicks are good. Like, so you're putting your fandom aside for a second. They're like, I want to enjoy, I enjoy talking basketball. And if the Knicks are good, we get to talk more basketball. It's fun to go to games. You're still a Celtic fan in your heart, and that's your team. But you understand how good it is for the Knicks and this radio station. So you allow to happen. It would not fly if you did anything else for a living, but because of what you do for a living, I give you a pass. But there's really nothing in anybody's heart as a fan that would say, I feel good for the Knicks. They're in your division, for God's sakes.
Listen, I rarely pull the card. I don't want to pull a J.J. Redick, Don, and say, you don't have the experience, so you don't understand.
Excuse me? I do understand.
No. Hear me out. I do think if you listen to me, you may admit I have a point here. You and Michael both have the luxury, and I mean extreme luxury, of getting to perform on the radio in the market in which you were raised. You don't fully understand the experience of moving your entire life and making home somewhere else.
Yes, I understand.
There is something that's tough. And I've seen this throughout sports talk radio. I told you, growing up in D.C., I would hear it from the Michael Wilbons of the world, the transplants who made their living in D.C. And over time, you develop an affinity for these teams that you cover. I love New York. It's my home. When the Knicks are playing great, I'm not going to sit there on my hands and be excluded from everything fun. That's the community I'm in. Now, if it was the Cowboys, that would maybe be different. But I just don't view the Knicks in that regard with the Celtics.
I get it. But I think if you were just at Hot, or if you were a lawyer or a doctor and you relocated to New York, you wouldn't feel that vibe.
Maybe you're right.
We'd be able to ignore it. It's not a big deal. Yeah, the Knicks are good. All right, so what? But you understand the significance of the Knicks in this market when you're doing sports radio.
But I wasn't doing
those
sports
fans,
radio.
You feel for those fans. You're a good guy, so you know how the, you want those fans to feel good. You know how good the shows are when a team is really good, and it wouldn't make
but what
any
year,
sense.
What year, Don, what year was Linsanity?
2011.
Wow, it's that long already. So yeah. That's several years, 5 years before I came on this show. Linsanity happened. I was obsessed. I was there. I bought a Jeremy Lin shirt. Like, I enjoyed it. I celebrated it with the city. Listen, it doesn't mean that if the Celtics play the Knicks in the conference finals, I'm not going to root for the Knicks. But listen, it can be called fraudulent. It can be called whatever it is. But the bottom line is, I have this history with these teams that goes back now an entire lifetime. I didn't get into the Celtics truly in a real way until Larry Bird was fading out. Like, when I fell in love with that team, Larry Bird couldn't get on the court because of his back spasms. That was the Larry Bird I actually fell in love with. When in his last playoff game, one of his last playoff games, he scored 49 points against Portland with his back broken. So I went through a long, 20 years there of them not being particularly good. But listen, I hear it. I'm always down to have this argument. Sports fraudulence is one of my favorite conversations. It's led to a great friendship between me and the great Billy Crystal. So I'll talk fraudulence all day long. But right now, let's talk.
Communique with him since the game?
You're not
bothering him, are you?
Not bothering him. He texted me during game 6 of the Knicks Heat series.
Wow. God, I'm so jealous.
He just dropped me a text and started commenting on the game.
That's really cool.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
What am I supposed to say? Hey, Billy, you know what? Don't worry about it. I don't want to talk about the Knicks. No, I'm into it. I do want to talk about the Knicks. Wow. I'm very interested in this team. And I did start a pinstripe report. So let's say something about baseball. Let's go to Robbie in Massachusetts. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, guys. Always nice to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call. You had a call before talking about Aaron Boone. Look, I know I've repeated this on the station. I actually do a radio show up here in New England. In fact, my broadcast partner, I won this thing called the Alliance Award this week for a non-commercial station. So maybe there's hope for me in my 50s, Don.
Oh, cool, man. Congratulations.
anyway, thanks, man. But, my former broadcast partner is Tim Nevert, voice of the Dodgers, used to be with the Boston Red Sox and Pirates. So, anyway, but the thing I want to talk about is this, analytics to me, and I'm 58 years old, okay? I've been a Yankee fan 50 years, all right? Actually, more than that, probably since I'm 3, so maybe 56 years, maybe. And the thing for me is that I just can't stand the analytics. For example, when he's talking about DJ LeMahieu and not playing, and I understand he's had injuries and so forth, but why is a guy like Bader, okay, who's basically a double singles guy batting fourth, and you got a guy with 62 home runs batting second? It makes no sense. The Yankees last night, you don't have to hit Braden's. God forbid one guy could actually bunt the baseball and get the hell on base and try to manufacture around, okay? This is why baseball is so stupid. And then you get the basketball with the plethora, the cornucopia of stupid three-point shots. The whole beauty of the game, the motion of the game. And I'm telling you, Peter, go back and watch Walton and Bird. Go back and watch Gabe Cowan. Go back and watch Jokic as a throwback to a center that facilitates the ball where they have cutters. I mean, I don't understand basketball anymore. The idea is to throw 40 shots from 24 feet and take a shot. It's ruined the whole game. It used to be nice when Trent Tucker would come off the bench. Go ahead, I'll get your thoughts. Don, I wanted to ask you, who's going to be the Ranger coach at this point? I'd love to see Knox.
My gut tells me it's going to be Mike Robbie. Sullivan. That's my gut. It'll be Mike Sullivan or Peter Laviolette. Those are the two that I'm feeling. I don't know if I want to go here with this, but because it's always out there with this analytic conversation. You got to get over it, people. Well, unless you want to become like sports Amish. Maybe that's what you need to do. Like, because I was thinking of an analogy, Peter. It's like, all these cars flying up and down the road. I just want to go back to the day, the feel of a horse. I want the feel of a wagon behind me and just going up the trail. I don't want to be in these cars going 100 miles per hour, sucking all this gas down. Give me the feel of a horse. That's what you sound like. Because they're not going back. When you say it doesn't make any sense, it makes sense to them. So if you want to continue to follow these sports, you're going to have to live with the analytics. They're not going back. They're not going to hear your phone call and go, oh, you know what? He makes a very good point. Let's go back 15 years ago the way it used to be. I'm going to call these people sports Amish. That's what they want. They want to go back in time. You can't go back in time. Peter, this is the way that it is, so stop complaining about it. And stop trying to rationalize it like they're wrong and you're right. Because you might feel that in your heart, but all the 30 teams in Major League Baseball, the 30 teams in the NBA, it's starting to happen in football now and hockey. This is where we're going. Either accept it or just live in your own world. Because we're not going back in time.
Now, if you want to talk about old-timey baseball, we could talk about Aaron Boone getting kicked out last night. And Boone spoke earlier about that very subject.
Well, I think I've earned that reputation. do I think it's leading to a quick hook? Not necessarily. I think last night was. But that could just be a one-off. Maybe I'm delusional and that I did more than I think. I don't think that's the case. But I don't think I'm being targeted by umpires going in like, you know, they're not going to tolerate certain things. I think I'm treated fairly.
That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Woodbridge Wines. Wine your way, New York. Pick up a bottle of Woodbridge, proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Please enjoy their wines responsibly. 2023 Woodbridge Winery, Ocampo, California. Don, the thing that we teased and that we have to get to after this next break is the conversation about DeAndre Hopkins and are the Jets a reasonable destination. But before we do that, guys, DiPietro and Rothenberg, my dear friends, we're in communication all the time. They're live on Thursday, June 1st. Don, that's next Thursday to you and me.
That's right.
Starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset for a special pregame broadcast, music from Randy Zoo, steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR. After the show, the crew is going to take the train to Citi Field and tailgate in Lot F before the matinee game. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave, brought to you by New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association, the Window and Glass Dealers Association of New York, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Don, I'm so excited about this event. I'm actually signing up for the New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association.
Oh, that's good. I was going to do that.
Yeah,
well, together.
I'm that pumped about it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I said Larry Bird. I said the Portland game was a playoff game. Obviously, it was not a playoff game that Larry Bird scored 49 points in, because that would have been the NBA Finals, which did not happen. It was just his last regular season, sort of his last glorious moment as a Celtic, when he came back from an injury early in the game and then scored 49 points and had 14 rebounds. Just a little side note. Hey, by the way, Don, we got Martin back on the phone.
Oh, we did? What happened?
We lost him earlier.
Oh, good,
when he didn't
he
get
had
to
another
ask his
point
question.
He wanted to make.
Yeah, sorry about that, Martin. Jacob hates you. What do you have for us?
Hey, not much. Hey, see, that's why I love you, Pete, because you just got done playing classic as a background music, and I love that. Well, anyway, I'm like Don. I'm going to give you a pass, too, because you're in the business. You know, so you got to be a people person. I get it. So I give you a pass.
But it's a networker.
Like I said, you know, yeah.
It's not.
Exactly.
It's not networking. That's not it. But okay, keep going.
No, but I mean, I understand what it is with your team from a child or whatever. But you know, I give you a pass. But anyway, back to these Yankees. Okay, so if George Steinbrenner was alive right now, he'd be firing everybody, because I know what Don just said about analytics and calling, you know, I'm really not a big analytic guy, because it's just who comes up to play that day, who shows up, in a sense, to me. And it's like Boone is causing, you know, the ejections. He's a manager. He's supposed to be managing his team. He got thrown out. So now you got Allen in the left field. You got Oswaldo on third, he ain't hitting. He needs to go back to Double A or Triple A just to get a refresher. But it's like, you got LeMahieu. I know he's struggling, but he's still a Gold Glover. He's a veteran. You know, you're sitting him down, and it's like, I feel the Yankee organization has changed. I know Hal just got to making a statement saying that it's not all about winning. Yes, it is, because that's what we grew up with. That's what your father
different.
Had.
I mean, Martin, that's on you, buddy, because it has changed. You know, so we can't live in the past
legacy,
anymore.
Don. That's a legacy. That's the dynasty that they gave us, that we were raised.
Yeah, and now it's changed. So you have to decide whether you want to be on board or not, because it's not going to go back. George is not here.
No, I have to be on board. I have to. I'm a Yankee.
I know, but you're going to have to. But that's what my point is. I know you're on board, so you're going to have to now change, because the option is quit or get with the program. So now you're going to have to get with the program. Hal believes in this. Brian Cashman believes in it. Aaron Boone believes in it. So now you have to believe in it, or get off the train.
We just lost two games in a row to Baltimore. They're in second place. I get it, but you got Giancarlo Stanton with that lip little. He's not supposed to have that underneath his lip. He's supposed to shave that off, you know. But he's been hurt so many times. Severino's been hurt. You're paying all this money for hurt people, and just like Cashman said last year. Hold on, just like he said last year at the end when we lost last year, the team that we built has never been on the same field.
No, see, you know, but now you change the conversation. I'm with you. That's why I will not let Brian Cashman up on this. He has went out and got players who have either gotten hurt or were hurt when they acquired them. So that's a different conversation. Now you went from the analytics to Brian Cashman. Now you've got some teeth to this argument. Because beyond the analytics or how the organization is run, why is Brian Cashman trying to acquire pitchers that are already hurt? Listen, Bader ended up working out. We had to wait like 4 months for it because he had a walking boot when they traded for him. Like, they gave Severino a contract extension, got hurt. They gave Hicks a contract extension, it completely fell apart, and they ended up having to release him. There's a lot of mistakes. See, that's the stuff that you can sink your teeth into.
Thanks, Martin.
Complaining about the analytics and Aaron Boone and who's batting where, to me, that's fog. That doesn't have any substance, doesn't have any definition. But if you really want to kill somebody, kill Brian for acquiring these players, Peter, that either have underachieved or can't stay on the field.
By the way, Don, I want everyone out there to enjoy their Memorial Day weekend, brought to you by our friends at Kia. Make your summer special. Visit Kia.com. Kia, movement that inspires.
I got football trivia for you. How about this for a transition? You ready?
All right.
Since you wanted to get into the DeAndre Hopkins of it all, as you would say.
Mm-hmm. We keep pushing it somehow. We're going to end up talking about it now in the 5
well,
o'clock.
That's why I grabbed the steering wheel, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, please do. And by the way, I don't mind football in the 5. You think I'm scared of football in the 5?
No, football trivia.
Go ahead.
Just to give you a little taste, right?
All right.
Most receptions through the first 10 seasons in NFL history.
The most receptions through their first 10 seasons. Question
NFL
for you.
History.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.
Is it a surprising answer?
No, you've heard of all. I've got a list of 5. You've heard of them all.
Wait.
But,
I don't.
But I think you'd be a little surprised.
Are you asking me who's number one?
Give me the top 5, give you a hint. The reason I'm bringing it up is DeAndre Hopkins is on the list.
He's on the list.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to do it right now, or when we get back?
I want you to do it when we get back. I want you to think about it, but don't you dare.
I will not.
Dare Rothenberg this.
I swear on my life. I swear on Bear's life. Don't you worry. Okay?
That's
God is my witness.
I threw out there, and we're already in a bad way with the morning show, so I take that back. I was just having fun.
Yeah, they still haven't sent me a note.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.